1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, as we shift in the same passage, and quite frankly, I think that my son is, who helps me with these sermons, is suggesting a new title, but I'm going to continue with the old title that we've been using as we're in the same passage, and that is Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, Repeat, Part 11. The Bible reads in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 through 24, in these rather pithy statements: Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Let's pray. Holy Father God, on this beautiful spring day that you have made here in the state of Texas, where we will get to 90 degrees in the early spring, and we thank you for the blue skies and the wonderful weather. We also thank you for when it rains. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the gift from heaven, who died on the cross as the sacrificial lamb of God for our sins, was buried and rose again. We individually confess our sins unto you as Christians, as believers in Christ. For we are not perfect. We're not on the other side yet. And unfortunately, we still have to deal with our sinful nature, our flesh. And when we mess up, we need to confess up. And so, as Christians, Lord, help all of us to do that today and to tell the truth, for the fellowship will not be what it should be. It will not exist with you unless we confess our sins and repent. We will still be saved, but the fellowship is broken. So Lord, help your Christian saints realize that today, for that is not spoken about much. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us to hear your holy word as Christians, that we will be motivated and encouraged to pray more and to, through prayer, accomplish great things. Because it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so, Holy Father God, we know the devil is fighting against us in a very fierce manner, not only from the outside, but from on the inside, for we have Judases, Lord, amongst us. As Dr. MacArthur, John MacArthur, mentioned the other night, and our greatest enemies oftentimes are they who are in our own families. And so that is a reality that in our prosperity gospel world, we don't want to talk about, because we all are supposed to be hunkadory and bed of roses and everything in our family. And we're supposed to be like the happy Brady Bunch, when in reality, so many families in the church are like the Adams family. So Lord, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us, and help us not to do what the young black lady said in North Carolina. The problem with many people in the church is that they're fake. They're not honest. And so, Lord, help your church people to be honest and to confess sins, to acknowledge things are not what they should be, and to repent and to turn from our evil ways. Help us to pray and to seek your face, to turn from our evil ways and to humble ourselves before you and get back to you, our first love, because you know the truth. We pray for over 3 million souls to be saved through this ministry alone, 3 million Christians to be revived. And Lord, glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Grant me fresh unction and anointing. Rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his host, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, enemies, and sabotage against your gospel going forward, in your holy word going forward. And Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, in his name, we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. Be thankful. We have talked extensively about these three verses. And now we are in, we're going to continue in a series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible. That's the overall series. A series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. Now, the purpose of this series is to encourage you and to challenge you and to motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. We have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 345 messages in this series. This is message number 346, titled Rejoice, Pray, Give Thanks, and Repeat, Part 11. Ladies and gentlemen, Arthur Baxter said, as we're moving on down the passage, quenching the spirit is brought about by lack of fuel to nourish and preserve it. That's his point of view. I believe largely that quenching the spirit is done by people who claim to be Christians, but they have sin in their lives, and they gather together in the church and are unwilling to confess their sins to God, unwilling to make things right with their brothers and sisters in Christ, and they carry sin into the church house expecting God to move by His Holy Spirit. However, they are quenching the Spirit. But he goes on to say, in many a soul, the Spirit's fire is quenched because it is never replenished by prayer, meditation, self-examination, works of charity, good works, and mercy, and attendance on Holy Communion. I guess that's another way to quench the spirit. That's a passive way of quenching the spirit. And I believe people have done this. They have not been replenished through family devotions, through prayer, through reading the Word of God, taking time alone with God. The head of Twitter, the CEO of Twitter, meditates from 4 to 5 hours a day. Now, I don't know if he prays, but he sure has the time to do so. I can't imagine just sitting there for 5 hours just thinking about stuff without talking to his Creator, but he didn't mention that. He says he meditates for 4 to 5 hours a day. Now, he's the CEO of one of the biggest, baddest companies in the world. But not only that, he fasts 23 hours a day, every day. He only eats one meal. It's a bad meal, Danae. He just eats two hot dogs, two chili dogs. But if you're fasting for 23 hours a day, I guess you can eat what you want. And then on top of that, he fasts, and he uses the word fast, every Saturday and Sunday. Now, if he's doing that for whatever reason, from what I gather, he's not a out-and-out believer in Jesus Christ. We as Christians ought to be able to do at least half of what he's doing, or one quarter, and do it for good reason and good purpose. But many of us are not. Most of us are not. We're not even coming close to that kind of dedication. Be that as it may, ladies and gentlemen, today we are continuing in the very same passage that we have been learning from and hearing from these pithy statements from the Lord through the Apostle Paul over the past 10 weeks. And we're going to continue in this passage. In those messages, ladies and gentlemen, we learned about and talked about the interlocking nature of joy, prayer, and thanksgiving, which we are commanded to engage in without ceasing. These are the real spiritual triplets. This is what we need to focus on, and we need to add to it witnessing to others and telling others about Christ, which is the Great Commission. We ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to rejoice forevermore. We ought to be thankful and grateful for what God has already done, for what He is doing. And I want to remind you that God is very interested in your remembering what He's already done, because He knows that it will increase your faith. It will encourage you to pray in faith, believing, because He's already answered so many hundreds of prayers in the past. And he is concerned about saints who forget what He's already done. And yes, the God who did it yesterday can do it today, and He can do it tomorrow. He has all power in His hand. So when things are not going quite the way you think they ought to go, or as fast as you think they ought to go, just keep on trusting in God. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice forevermore. Be just as thankful as when He blesses you with something you like real good. May God deliver us from these wicked saints who are mad as the devil when they don't get what they want, and they don't do what they want to do, and they can't have what they want to have at that time, and they're mad as the devil, evil as they can be, mean, hateful, don't want to pray, don't even want to talk to their brothers and sisters in Christ, don't want to answer people respectfully. got a nasty demonic attitude from hell, turn into monstrous Judases and enemies of the faith because things don't go their way. I assure you, my beloved, I offer to you that they have never been born again, because that's not how a Christian should act. But as soon as you let them have their way, as soon as you let them do what they want to do, are you taking note in the back? As soon as you give in to what they want, they are smiling and grinning and laughing like a Cheshire cat. They have wicked, evil, hypocritical hearts, and no pastor, no husband, no parent ought to let people get away with that. You ought to withhold certain things if they are not willing to be a true Christian and be cheerful and joyful at all times. Whether things go their way or not, these so-called Christians who fall apart when God does not answer the prayer the way they want it answered, and God does not give them the husband they wanted when she wanted it, or the wife when he wanted it, and get mad as the devil and quit on God and quit going to church because the woman he set his heart on, someone else got. God gave the woman to another man, not realizing that God is right all of the time. He's never wrong. Or God gave that man to another woman that you had your eyes on. No one knew you had your eyes on. You just kept it to yourself, doing stupid things like claiming him for your husband. And now you are defeated, disgusted, and sad and mad. And now you don't pray anymore. You don't sing anymore. You don't want to serve the Lord anymore. You don't want to have a pleasant attitude and spirit anymore. You don't want to speak peaceably to your brothers and sisters in Christ anymore. In fact, you don't even want to go on the trip that you had already paid $800 for, because you are so disgusted. And quite frankly, you're mad at God. You're not considering that you're not considering this, but you know this is true. You're not ready for that husband yet. You wake up like a dragon. You go to bed as a dragon in your own house by yourself. You're mad at yourself. Or you're mad at your sister that you're staying with. You don't get along with your father and your other family members. You have a bad attitude towards your family members, towards your own father. Why would God give you a husband when you can't get along with anybody? You can't even get along with yourself, or a wife, and you know you're no good, and you're corrupt, and you're a liar and a thief. You haven't even learned. Here you are, 27 years old, and you haven't even learned to ask for stuff. Why would God give you a wife and you're stealing her money, stealing her credit card, and stealing her keys? You're no good, no account, Negro. So God, deliver us from folk like that in the church today. They're never happy unless they're doing exactly what they want to do. I submit to you that they have never been born again. So, beloved, our focus is still on prayer in this passage. And one of the best things you can do to not quench the spirit is pray. And the first thing you need to do is confess your sins. And in this message, we will continue looking at this series of pithy statements which close out Paul's powerful letter to the believers at Thessalonica, as they show us some of the things that prayer, rejoicing, and giving thanks helps us to do. and maintain in our walk with Christ. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to move on and talk to those who are not saved. But before we do that, let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your holy word today. And Lord, your word is so rich and so powerful, contrary to what people think. Lord, we don't need to be here for a whole hour preaching on something, even though oftentimes we do it. And it's okay. But Lord, your holy word is so rich and so powerful. Lord, just a little bit can go a long way and last a long time if people would take heed to it. In fact, our problem today is we know too much. And we know too much because we don't do what we know. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. So Lord, help everybody to focus in on today, praying without ceasing, rejoicing forevermore. For some have not even started doing that. And being thankful for everything, even what we may think is things that are going too slow. Bad things, we may think that. And then, Lord, help everybody to learn to pray and to obey your holy word and not to sin against you. And if we do, confess our sins so that we will not quench the Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're with us today and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as your personal Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. And now I call it the prayer of salvation as well, to put a little more of a positive spin on it, if you will. First, please understand that you are a sinner. This is the negative part that many people don't understand and many people don't hear. You are a sinner. You say, well, I'm wearing a $3,000 suit or dress with $500 shoes on. My stockings cost $100. I'm good looking. I'm rich. I'm driving a Mercedes. And I live in a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. And you're calling me a sinner, a wretched, low-down sinner? Yes, I'm calling you that to your face because that's what you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what your position is. I don't care if you're a president or a pauper. You're lost and on your way to hell if you've never trusted Christ as Savior. And you're on your way to hell because of your wicked sinfulness and sins. The Bible makes it very clear. You're a sinner just as I am. And by the way, the Pope is a sinner as well. And all preachers are sinners, as we're finding out, aren't we? The Bible makes it very clear. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, you know this has to be the Word of God, for how would anybody know that all have sinned but God? The Bible says, secondly, except the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. No matter how handsome you think you are, or how pretty, or how smart, or how educated you are, you're headed towards the consequences of your sins. Death, your body, will be buried in a grave one day, or tossed out into the ocean. Your soul will be tossed into hell or the lake of fire because we're all sinners. And death is the punishment for sin. Death is a terrible thing. Thirdly, understand, if you don't believe that there is a hell, that Jesus Christ does believe that it is a hell because he preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than anybody in any of the prophets. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Hell is a real place. Yes, Virginia, hell is real. Hell is a terrible place. You say, preacher, you're just trying to scare people. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I don't have time to do that. I'm just reporting to you what Jesus said. And he said it repeatedly, over and over again, that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And the way you gain heaven and shun hell is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. I know you have not heard much about it from other preachers, but it is true. Hell is a place of torment. It is called elsewhere a lake of fire. And everybody who has not trusted Christ as Savior and believed on him as Savior and prayed and asked him to save them will go to this awful place. For Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again on the third day. In fact, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He was speaking of himself, and he could do that very easily because he is God, by the way. Emmanuel, God with us, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, the down and out and the up and out, believeth in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. As the sacrificial Lamb of God, John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world, including yours and mine, everybody's, no matter who you are, and all you have to do is believe on Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And here's God's promise on it for you, Romans 10:9-13, that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you born again? Do you have peace in your soul that you have been saved from hell? I don't fear death, not because I'm a good person, but I know that I have put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have peace in my soul. I don't fear death. I don't fear the devil. I don't fear hell. I don't fear evil people. Anytime the Lord wants me to come home, I'll be glad to go. Are you there, dear friend? Do you have your eternal life insurance? You have your car insurance. You have your health insurance. You have your life insurance in case you die, or rather when you die. Well, you need your eternal life insurance. If you doubt there's a hell, just in case, you need your eternal life insurance. I know you don't doubt heaven, but if you doubt hell, just in case there is a hell, get your eternal life insurance by believing on the King of Kings, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ. Call on his name to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. You can pray on your own if you want to, but I'm here to lead you in prayer as someone led me. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, deserving of hell, because I have sinned against you. I have violated your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have taken your holy name in vain before. I have dishonored my parents before. I have committed many other sins, such as committing idolatry, putting people and things before you. I understand that I deserve to go to hell for my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my pitiful soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world, according to your servant, John the Baptist. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my wretched soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Change me from the inside out. Help me to repent. And help me to turn from my evil ways. And help me to be a Christian from my heart. And help me to follow you throughout the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. And I can say that based upon the powerful Word of God found in the Bible. And that's what you should believe in. What the Bible says, not what other people say, not what mom and them say, not what your feelings might say. Just believe what the Word of God says. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. So if you believed on Christ and you called upon him, you're saved. So congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.